Good morning, everybody. We're starting the final day of our board week, and we're going to talk about the disclosure initiative, and I give the floor to Holger.
Thank you, Hans. Good morning, everybody. In this meeting, the staff would like to discuss agenda paper 11 and obtain the views of the board on the potential scope of the principles of disclosure project as part of the disclosure initiative. The agenda paper addresses the objective of the research project and the intended approach and outcome of this project. Furthermore, the paper lists the disclosure topics considered for this project, and it also outlines the next steps. Before handing over for discussion, the staff would like to highlight that the research topics addressed in this paper results from a review of a variety of publications containing recommendations for the overall improvement of financial reporting disclosures for IFRS. And furthermore, we would like to highlight that in this project, we are not considering to develop specific guidance for individual primary financial statements or the notes. However, we consider as part of the project to provide information about the potential implications and consequences for existing disclosures in IFRS in light of concrete ideas or recommendations developed in this project. With this information in mind, I would like to hand over for discussion to obtain the board's view, especially on the two questions in the agenda paper, whether the ISB agree with the described approach of the research project, and the second question, whether the ISB agrees with the research topics addressed in this agenda paper.
There you go.
I personally feel, you know, we should not be so ambitious on this project. That is, the objectives of this project should be much clearer. For me, it is not very clear. Firstly, whether it's, you know, include presentation and the disclosure box, and whether it's truly as Pogo just said, looks like something above, you know, that is principles over the other standards. It seems to me not so very clear. And I think, personally, I feel just like our conceptual framework project, we should do the job based on the presumption. Current presentation disclosure are generally okay. Otherwise, I would feel, you know, we will make big mistake. Of course, if there is a genius person who can create, you know, fundamentally different framework, it's good, you know. But I think we should base on the presumptions, you know, current standards, particularly IAS 18. What else?
Seven.
and interim report standards and the recently published ones related to the consolidation package. Generally, it's okay. Then should investigate what should we improve. And one thing I think is quite important from the feedback during the forum and also during the agenda consultation is people worry about duplications, but overburdens. I don't want to say less or more, because if I want to say less or more, you know, Pat will immediately say, "Wilco, I want more." But I think once it's so obvious, people say, "Is there any duplications? And maybe we can, you know, reduce." I think say this way will be much better than simply say that less is more. And in conclusion, I think we should not be so ambitious, should be targeted on the basis the current framework is basically okay.
Mary?
I share a little, but only a little, of Wei Guo's concern, and just in terms of ambition and moving this forward, because I think it would be great, even though it's set up as kind of a second phase of disclosure, for it to be expeditious. One thing, I think it is helpful that you're looking at 1, 7, and 8 together. I think what I would caution in looking at those is to look at bringing them together and streamlining them, and maybe some, inevitably there will be some revisions made, but let's make it a streamlining rather than a fundamental reconsideration of all the issues that have been identified with respect to those standards. Let's not succumb to the, as long as we have it open, let's fix this or fix that and think about something that has been raised in the past. I mean, it's a bit frustrating and it will take discipline because we're working on it, but I think if the objective is to look at these through the lens of disclosure, we should be targeted in what we do. And in connection with that, the one issue that you raise in here that has come from the Interpretations Committee, I would be happy to have it in here if we thought that would be a timely response. But rather than try and make the decision now that it will be in this versus Interpretation Committee, maybe we could get things progressed a little further with the Interpretation Committee and then assess the timing of whether it's better to do on its own or factor into here the ISAID issue. The third thing is, Wigwo was saying, don't touch presentation, let's just focus on disclosure. To me, very often presentation and disclosure are so interlinked. To decide whether or not you're splitting, disaggregating something on the face or condensing on the face and expanding in the notes, I think it may be difficult to try and operationalize that split. So I concur with the staff recommendation to look at both aspects of that. I think I would distinguish it from saying we are taking on a presentation project that starts defining, expanding our consideration of minimum line items, definitions of what's included in there, et cetera. I think we cannot exclude presentation from some of the disclosure items that we're looking at. And then the last thing, and this is where I think I will probably set off disagreement with other board members, is the incorporation of interim reporting. I think there are valid reasons to look at it. I'm worried that that's a whole nother area that could slow down kind of the overall progress, but maybe we should look at pros and cons and what we think including covering interim reporting issues would do with making progress, whether we should be looking at that separately or here. There's a good argument that I've heard that companies probably report on an interim basis at least as often as they report on an annual basis, and if we're looking at where the issues come up, there may be in some ways a greater volume when on interim, but there's some underlying issues and it in some ways crosses over more regulatory concerns that markets regulators might want a greater involvement in, and I could see doing it right taking longer.
Stephen?
I take the opposite view to Wigwo. I think we should be more ambitious, not less. I think we've constantly had criticisms of disclosure. Presentation has been a perennial problem for us. We've tried in the past. We always talk about performance reporting, OCI, and all the rest of it. I would like us to have a performance reporting project parallel to this and running with it. I think trying to do a bit of presentation in amending IS1 is not, it's going to be too difficult. I absolutely support having a disclosure framework and amending IS1 to make the sort of framework for disclosures clearer, but I do think we need to tackle performance reporting and presentation more generally as well. I also think that the problem with this is that its actual influence on the disclosures which are presented in financial statements will be fairly limited. It might have some knock-on effect, but if we're going to improve disclosure, deal with the clutter issue, but also improve the quality of disclosure, what we have to do is to change standards. And for example, if we're producing a framework, objectives for disclosures in IAS 1, could we not deal with the fact that many of our standards lack disclosure objectives at the same time. So I just opened one of the older standards at random, IAS 36, and the opening sentence in the disclosure section is, an entity shall disclose the following. And then it goes on for three pages or whatever it is. So there is no objective in the same way that we have in our current standards. Why can't we just insert an objective into those standards where it's missing? Not necessarily change the list, but if we're providing an objective of disclosure generally, why can't we translate that into an objective for standards and actually make an improvement and help people apply the disclosures there and maybe do some good in terms of improved disclosures at the standards level at the same time?
I'm out.
Thanks. I guess this can be viewed as a continuation of Stephen's comments, because when I read paragraph 5 and then continuing to paragraph 6 and mostly the objectives of the project, I was, maybe this is English wording, but we started saying that the objective is to identify and develop a possible set of principles for disclosure. And then we end up with this, saying this very same paragraph, in essence, creating a disclosure framework. And then I was confused because my mind framework, in the way that we are discussing in the conceptual framework project, is something that would help the board in the future in developing and enhancing the literature that we have in disclosure. And then I go on, and in 6, you start to say the main focus is improvement that were expressed. So, and then you focus on IS 1, 7, and 8. So I was truly confused with the research, because as you described, to me it's much more, I would understand, as the first phase of disclosure initiative that would be at this stage only mainly focused on improvement on the existing disclosure, general disclosure requirement that we had in 1, 7, and 8. And then do you think, and this for me is not really a framework, could be viewed as a general principles for disclosure requirement, and then for us to go ahead and to cover generally performance as mentioned by Stephen, would be a continuation of this project, or how? What are we discussing here exactly? Because I'm confused following these two paragraphs.
Maybe just to reply on that. Amar, I think you mentioned, or you said, the general principles for disclosures would feel, from your view, not be a framework. I think some people consider this is the kind of disclosure framework if you have a general set of principles for disclosures. So, and I agree, actually, then there might be some very different views what is considered to be a disclosure framework. I think there are very different views whether a disclosure framework should be only part of a conceptual framework or whether the framework would be actually on a standard level. What we indicated in the agenda paper and also think for the project would be that there should be a general disclosure standard that actually is setting the kind of objectives for disclosures, and then coming back to Steve, in the individual standards, you would actually have objectives that would ideally link to this kind of general disclosure standard. And then if you're having this kind of more or better objectives for disclosures, it would really help, from our view, also applying materiality judgment, because I think then also it's more easier to judge or in what kind of context they have to provide this information, because I think this is also a kind of common message from constituents that they're struggling to see the reason why the disclosure is there. And I think if we could improve the objectives, then I think it would be also much better for preparers to provide better information on this. But to really develop the objectives, I think we have to consider a kind of more broader set of general disclosure principles for IFRS.
Thanks.
So, for example, if we took Steve's point, at the moment we have a general, we often have a disclosure objectives of the newer standards, and they tend to revolve around a similar theme. We could bring that similar theme into the actual general principle, disclosure principle standard, and it actually might then mean that we get more specific objectives down in the actual standard. So that would be an example of how we think that more general principle might apply across standards, and then you get more specific disclosure requirements leading off and feeding off those broader principles in the general IS1 equivalent.
So we could expect at the end of the day to have this standard principles for us to apply when judging and assessing disclosure at standards level, but also principles that would apply to general financial reporting. So we could have two sets of principles, and then this consider the framework.
So, and I would think that it would apply to both the board making a decision about how to write disclosures going forward, but also preparers when there isn't a specific disclosure objective or requirement in a standard, like to Holger's point about materiality. Mm-hmm. It's not only about what shouldn't be there, but also what is and what's not necessarily required. So it gives that sort of broader objective on which to base whether to disclose or not to disclose.
Ian? Thanks, Hans. So we've had some people saying don't be too ambitious, and we've had some people saying be more ambitious. Perhaps it's because I'm a board advisor on this, but I think the memo's struck the right balance, and that is, let's get on and do some things with 1, 7 and 8 and get it back here by the third quarter, they're talking, which is pretty short time. Let's get working with other national standard setters and other bodies to consider the work they're doing or the work they might do. And then, after we've done all that, let's see how we move forward. And I think the sort of one or two steps at a time approach is the right approach. And I think we've got this situation in a number of projects. We're talking liability equity yesterday. And we've got to be careful, I think, not to promise the end result at the beginning. You know, with liability equities, I don't think we should promise now that we're going to sort it all out and fix up IS 32 and get everything done, because I'm not sure if we can or how long it would take us if we did. And a bit the same with this. I think we've got to move forward constantly. I think they've done a good job in pulling this together, and this is a good basis for moving forward. And we'll have to keep considering where we move after that.
Philippe?
I think I share the views of Ian on this. I think it's the right approach. I was still a bit confused, like Amaro, by the US term disclosure framework in paragraph 3. Not fundamentally, but because we are floating to the market a project on constitutional framework, which doesn't include anything about disclosure framework. And we are having a research project in parallel, which talks about doing something and calls it a disclosure framework. And I think this creates some confusion to the market. So I think I agree with the idea of a set of principles, overarching principles. I agree. I would have preferred to have it done in the framework. But I was told yesterday, no, it's a separate research project, fine. So let's not call it a framework then, please, to avoid confusion. The other point in substance that I have is about paragraph 12, where you talk about the other project on materiality. And I think the combination of those two projects is very important. One of the fundamental principles in disclosures is the principle of materiality. But still, it is not part of your project. It's something else. But I think those two things, materiality and this one, will have to work hand in hand. You cannot make much progress on reducing clutter and overload of disclosures without considering first materiality. And if everything you can do here is probably less important than the project on materiality in a way, in comparison to what we want to achieve, that is better disclosures. So I think, I don't know in terms of process how we're going to put to the market those two projects. But I think they should follow each other very closely, and there should always be a close link between the two projects.
And the link is Christine, I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, link is sort of, we all work together, but I think the first step we had in the materiality project was to do some research of actual, how it's being applied in case law or regulatory guidance at the moment, and bring that back. And with that knowledge, ask the board again how they want to proceed with that. And I think one of the options in that is to do we sort of, how do we coordinate it with this project? Do we bring it more closely in? Do we do some separate work which we think could be worthwhile sort of in the short term? So I think it's a good point that we need to make sure one of the options or one of the aspects of that project is how it links into this.
What I mean, I would not personally put anything to our constituents that would not include a discussion on materiality, either as part of this thing or as a preliminary discussion. But to float proposals for improving disclosures without discussing materiality would be, for me, very strange.
And I think if we talk about a replacement of IS1, IS7 and 8, that will include the concepts we currently have and how we are informed by them on materiality. So you couldn't have that without that, the sort of current provisions in IS1 on that.
Hughes?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I agree completely with what Ian said, but at the same time have huge sympathy for what Stephen said. I think that, however, if one decisively wants to attack clutter in financial reports, one needs to develop new and original ways of communicating financial information, which is possibly something which is beyond our scope. And there is the integrated reporting initiative out there, and when it was discussed at the Advisory Council earlier on in the year, I think there was an agreement that we should stay close to that. We shouldn't be in the driving seat, but we should stay at the table. And that seems to me to be the right balance. I don't think we can drive very novel ways of re-engineering financial information and its presentation.
Thanks, Sue.
I agree pretty much with the scope that you've suggested in this paper. I think maybe on the interim one, maybe we should see that as a sort of secondary thing and focus on the sort of main IFRS financial statements as our sort of starting point and put our main energies into that as a first point, perhaps. On the point about objectives, in concept, I very much find the concept of using a more objective-based approach appealing. My only reservation is I'm not sure how well that ends up being applied in practice. And I think maybe we've got the perfect test case in our literature because we've got very old standards that are very much sort of checklist-based, like IS36 that Steve just pointed to. But then we do have things like IFRS 7 and IFRS 12, which at least sought to be more objective-based. I think we should do some research and look at how good the disclosures are in the different areas, and so how well the words that we've used have worked in application. Now, maybe that could be partly enforcement versus our words, in which case that's not our problem. But if we can look at the words and see whether there are ways that have worked better than others and stuff we've already got, rather than suddenly assuming objectives are going to work, I'd feel more comfortable. Particularly given in other forums, I know, for example, the EDTF, there's been a lot of demand for templates and more prescription, which seems to be the opposite of what we're doing. Now, that may well be because they're just looking at the banking industry, so it's much easier to have comparison because everybody's doing something pretty similar, so templates work quite neatly. But it just makes me a little bit nervous about objectives. But let's just look and make sure we're comfortable. The other thing, linking back to this regulatory point, is that a lot of times when I go and talk to people at the moment about disclosure, the thing that they're worried about is disclosure overload, not just because of us, but because of, you know, Pillar 3, because of the EDTF, et cetera, particularly the banks. So I think it's very important that one of the things that we look at is this ability to cross-reference, or how we deal with all of these different sources of information that has been thrown with people. It's not IFRS in a vacuum. We're part of a bigger picture. And are there things that we can do to help address that environment? Cross-referencing, I think, on its face is quite an appealing concept. But I think, you know, what if you look at the Pillar 3 discussions that are going on at the moment, one of the things they're grappling with is they were concerned that the Pillar 3 document in some cases just ended up being 100 cross-references to other things, so Pillar 3 in itself wasn't substantive. And we don't really want, I think, IFRS financial statements to end up looking like that. So maybe we need to think about circumstances where we would be happy with cross-referencing on sort of more peripheral colour, if you like, and the core stuff can't be cross-referenced, and there might be a bit of work to be done there as well. But I think it's important to think about that bigger environment that we're just a piece of.
Patricia?
I think the scope as laid out in paragraph 5 and 6 and 7 is appropriate. I think we would be wise, as others have said, to stop calling this a disclosure framework and consistently refer to it as principles of disclosure. I think also that there's an expectation gap that when we talk about doing this to remove clutter from financial reports, I think a number of our constituents, particularly preparers, think that this is going to remove disclosures. And as you say clearly, this is not intended to add or remove disclosures, but just simply to rationalize what we already have and make it easier for preparers themselves to judge whether they put in duplicate information or unnecessary information. So I think we have to handle this expectation gap very carefully. But I think that dealing with, if we can rationalize 1, 7 and 8 and bring them up into more modern and consistent language, that we will have taken a big step in the right direction.
Gary?
Thank you. I largely also agree with the scope and direction of the project for the reasons others have expressed, so no need to repeat it. I think in a vacuum it might be insufficient, but you take the materiality project, you take other related work and conceptual framework, collectively we're doing a lot of data gathering and research and so on, and I do agree with Patrice, this should be, you know, principles of disclosure should be where we want to go with it. I think ultimately the end result's got to be standards and that make the financial statements in this primarily more the notes-oriented project more relevant. So what might make them more relevant, and I'm on to the slides from yesterday about researching non-IFRS information. I think that's an important aspect of this. The question you've got to ask yourself is, why is non-IFRS information being used so widely? It could be because they just don't like our standards. Could be they think they got a better way. It could be our standards don't address it. It could be they're not prohibited. The fact is they're using it to make financial communications under the theory that at least that's a more relevant way to present it than the way ours do. I think trying to understand why they do things, the motives versus, you know, the current standards is an important, you know, research data gathering thing. What we do with it remains to be seen. I do think we need to understand that, because EBITDA might be a non-IFRS data, but if it's just a sum of a bunch of other IFRS elements, well, is it non-IFRS or just something we don't commonly see? Likewise, as you know, I'm sort of big on what statistical stuff could potentially be in a footnote. You know, I like ticket sales. I think that's verifiable. Not necessarily everything else is. So I think that's an important part of where we're going. I actually do have a question on process in a minute, and just on interim, since I was one of the people saying we should have interim in here, I think perhaps Sue's got a little bit of a secondary thing in that. What's the role of interim disclosures? Is it just an update of full year disclosures, or is it something different? I think that's sufficient for this process. We don't want to reopen the entire theories of cost allocation, you know, that apply to a year to the quarters. I think it's what is the role, updates or something else. But on the process, you know, in the paragraph 40, you had said you're going to come back to us in the third quarter. How are you going to do the outreach on this? Where are you going to go, and how can some of us help you on it?
Well, general ideas for this, we already had some discussion with constituents, because we try to build on the basis of recommendations. I think we take the ideas and actually try to bring this to a kind of, let's say, idea or recommendation status where we could actually have some very concrete ideas and recommendations, and we would like to discuss this and with constituents or by face-to-face meetings or by telephone conference. And so we're already trying to explore whether this kind of wording could work, for example, for cross-referencing or to discuss also with, let's say, supervisory institutions, whether they see some concerns with cross-referencing in what particular area, so that we could actually bring to the board some kind of recommendations that we already tested with some. Obviously, we also have some regular meetings with GBF and CMAC meetings, so this is something we could actually use to explore these ideas further, whether they would work, where there are concerns. So it should really be a kind of status that we deliver kind of ideas to the board or recommendations that are already tested to some extent, but obviously not to a full extent.
Now, a lot of groups are out there doing the same sort of thing, and we don't want to bump into each other any more than we have to. Think of some of the IARC dialogues. That's exactly about, you get all sorts of accounting and auditing groups on the same space at the same time, and the outreach people you're calling on tend to be the same people who are cooperative or have an interest in this stuff. Are we going to work with other people on this at all? Is this going to all be done internally, or what's your thoughts?
Well, we're already working with IOSCO and the IAASB on materiality, and we could extend that. We would need to ask them whether they'd be willing to do that. But as Holger said, I think it will depend on each of the topics. Each of the topics have effectively arisen because of outreach or messages that we've heard. And I suppose it's then taking that, what we've heard, distilling that, bringing it to the board, getting a sense that we've got something to move forward with. And I think what in response to that question, we should, when we do bring it to the board, maybe set out how we would outreach and who we would work with to try and understand or to develop that in terms of producing the discussion paper. But I don't have an overall plan for everything, but I would expect, because this is sort of as a result of outreach, as we bring it to the board for moving forward, I think we should, as part of that, make a commitment to sort of suggest how we would outreach at each stage.
And at least for your house calls or whatever calls, I mean, don't hesitate. I think at least the board advisors at least ask if they're interested or available.
Jungle?
Thank you. I have the same opinion as Gary's, and also suggesting we need a kind of some integrated approach for this disclosure issue, because one of the main issues at the research forum about one year ago, many constituents suggested that we need a kind of concerted work among regulators and ISB, some others, because there are some kind of repetition of disclosures, especially maybe there's some financial community, maybe the much more, the regulatory disclosures are quite required. This project is a kind of one of the just maybe the only one comprehensive project on the disclosure initiative. So we need to consider about that issue on this, your approach. Your approach is very good, but maybe many preparers here maybe have such experience. It's just a repetition of the same disclosure, similar disclosures. You are asking, some other regulators are asking. And another thing is, as Steve suggested, that this is a most important part of the financial reporting in recent days. So this is very important. So I'm just wondering whether you can touch everything in this timetable. Maybe the 2015, you are having kind of plan to issue a discussion paper. But I don't know. So if you would like to really improve their current disclosure practice, reduce some difficulties, maybe you need more time. And Alan's research initiative, you need to build up some evidence of some specific issues on these disclosures, not just narrative description about some kind of some conceptual justification, rather we might need some evidence. Then we can identify more issues, you know. So these are three things I would like to suggest to add to the current proposed approach here.
Martin?
Yeah, I think the scope of this project is too broad, and because maybe there is a need to address all the presentation and the disclosure issues, but I think from the agenda consolidation there was clearly that we should first and with primary focus really do disclosure, improve disclosure work. And I really think that yes, we have to develop disclosure principles, but I think also we have to be in parallel work maybe on some standards, as Stephen has suggested. Because also I think in relation to materiality project which we have, if we don't have really objectives of disclosure in the standards, I don't know if how preparers can really use materiality and judgment, because if you have a list you shall disclose, then you have three pages. I don't know how you can apply judgment and materiality if that is a requirement. I think you can only apply judgment and use materiality if you have clearly given an objective. Then you can do that, but without that, I don't know how preparers will do that. Bottom line, I think we should not do all the presentation. We should focus on really disclosure principles, which is disclosure principles for the notes, and then in parallel work on maybe beginning with IAS 36 or other standards and really improve on the objectives, because that is, I think, only addresses what I think from the agenda consolidation was what people said, okay, we should do. Otherwise, I fear if we do all that, this project will take several years before we will see any improvements. And I think that is not the response which I think was addressed to us in the agenda consultation.
Well, it may come as a surprise to my friend Wigwo, but I am in complete agreement with what Martin Edelman just said. I think that we should be ambitious, but not in this project. I like Stephen, agree that we should have a separate project dealing with performance reporting presentation. But I don't think this is the place here, and I believe there's a great risk that we will take on a little bit more than we can handle and not achieve what Ian was talking about. So in the adage of nothing succeeds like success, I would like to stay very focused, rifle shot, and really eliminate, when you look at paragraph 10, a number of topics from the scope of this project. And just deal with, I think, the main message that we heard at the disclosure forum last May. And that was, improve the readability, improve the use of financial statements as a communication tool. And in that regard, I think the suggestion, for example, that Steve and others have mentioned, having an objective at the beginning of every standard with respect to disclosures is critical. But we can't stop there. What I think we need to add to those objectives is to describe what the key investor considerations are with respect to that issue. So if you take something like IAS 19, providing a kind of list of recognition and measurement aspects to the standard and put that in the notes, describe how you've done all these measurements, that's useful to an accountant, but it's not useful to the average investor. So just like in any report, lead with what is of greatest interest to them. What are the most important considerations that they are interested in with respect to that element in the balance sheet? Follow that with accounting policies, recognition, measurement, discussion, okay, for the accounting audience that you're trying to reach as well. And I think if we focus on readability, usefulness, and balancing the fact that these are compliance documents with the fact that they should also be communication documents for an investor, and that's not somebody who's necessarily conversing with every, you know, chapter and verse of IFRS, then I think we will have achieved a great deal here. And we've talked a little bit about how we might actually do that, so I won't go into the details. But for example, I would steer away from cash flow reporting I'd steer away from interim, okay, and I would focus on A and B in Chapter 10. Do I think those other areas deserve high level of attention? Absolutely, but not here. Let's stay focused. Let's do something that's actually going to mean something and not just ultimately result in just rearranging, you know, notes and repackaging what we already have today.
Just a quick question on this. When you say investors, do you refer to equity investor or?
All investors, people who provide capital to reporting entities.
If you look at Appendix A, it is very clear that a lot of analysis has already been done by I don't know how many people. Actual concrete proposals are sparse. EDTF has them. Losing the excess baggage had concrete examples or concrete suggestions, but we didn't like them too much because we felt there was a disconnect with the general principles. I think it is extremely important that we deliver tangible results with this project. And although the objective is better disclosures and not in itself fewer disclosures, if it wouldn't result to less clutter and fewer disclosures, I think we would have failed.
Right.
So I would recommend the team, along with others, to remain very focused. I think we already made a very good start with delivering tangible results, tangible proposals in a very short period with the proposed changes of IAS 1. Continue in this way, and don't just deliver general principles, but as you work along, test these principles in reality and make clear what kind of results that might deliver. And if there could be quick wins like the ones that were suggested by Stephen Cooper, to introduce a clear disclosure objective in all the older standards, if that could also help prepare us in applying materiality, as Martin, I think, rightly pointed out, let's do that as quickly as possible. That was also a suggestion of ASAF. Then two things I'm struggling with. This, we keep on harping back on the need to start again with the financial presentation project. And I think we have to make a decision one way or another what to do with it, instead of always talking about it and not doing something. If we want quick results, I would certainly not want to put it on your shoulders. But is there a need to do a parallel project? Do we have the means? I would really like the staff to look at this and to see what we want to do with it. But constantly referring to the need and not doing anything, I think is not a good idea. So we have to make a decision as to when are we going to do something? Are we going to postpone it for a couple of years? First thing first, I don't know. Really don't know, so the staff has to figure this out. Then the layering of disclosure requirements by different bodies. Instead of just talking about cross-referencing, perhaps this is very naive, but wouldn't it be a good idea to talk directly with those bodies that also globally set disclosure requirements, like Basel? I don't know if there are more. EDTF, is that already? Is that going to be obligatory or?
Depends on the jurisdiction. But we have spoken to Basel. We have a constant dialogue with them on their three-way.
Yes, but have our disclosure requirements been systematically been compared? I could also imagine that rather than saying proposing cross-referencing, that if either Basel or we slightly adjust our disclosure requirements, we could cancel some out. Have we?
We've talked to them about it. The issue that we have is that firstly they're very focused on this template approach, so they're not going to accept. They're putting up proposals, so it's not finalised. But their thinking, I think, is that They want very specific templates, so they wouldn't rely on our more general objectives in IFRS 7, for example. Also, the boundaries are different because the consolidation rules are different for regulatory purposes, and often they focus on risk-weighted assets, so it's not the same as ours. And also, we encourage them to cross-refer to our documents
yeah.
as much as they could, but they really want a standalone concrete document of their own. So, but it is an ongoing dialogue.
Okay. But just in this context, yeah. There's also some work that actually compares the kind of disclosure requirements in IFRS, especially in IFRS 7 and the Pillar 3 disclosures, and this kind of Excel sheet produced that really indicates the kind of duplications quite significantly. Obviously, there are some kind of slight changes, but this is also what especially financial institutions address to staff is actually to look into this because they feel that's quite a lot of burden to duplicate this information. Therefore, they really think that there could be a good achievement if this could be better worked out and how the disclosures are actually developed from different bodies, whether they are actually the same and what kind of solutions are there.
And often these aren't audited as well, which is the other thing. So there's real and it's obviously that's the ideal, but the differences in consolidation, the differences in levels of assurance, and the difference in risk-weighted assets versus what we'd recognise are all significant issues in practice.
Yeah. having heard the discussion, I think you're basically on the right track. Weigel?
I just want to add one point. You know, for me, to rationalize, I fully agree with you. But on the other hand, you know, from the feedback all over the world and from all these reports, you know, I think reduced duplication is one of the general call for everywhere. And this is the reasons why I propose to relate to interim. I want to clarify what I mean. You know, currently, you know, let's assume, discuss these companies, publish, you know, not only annual report, yeah, quarterlies and you know, current reports as required by laws or by stock exchange or voluntary by the company. And because of the IT system and those information compiling in the system, and some companies or the company itself or the stock exchange already, you know, try to accumulate and summarize all this information together. And then the question to us is, this is what exactly what I want to see. Should we require those information already in the system to represent again in annual reports? I don't think so. And of course, not all of them should not report again. Now, I think this is one big area, and I think we should do. And we had listened to many of the users' presentation here, and quite often they say, you know, annual report is part of the information we use. The reason is the company already published so many informations through, as I said, the continuous disclosures, not only the we call the periodical disclosure.
Having heard the discussion, does this lead to severe adjustments to your plan? I don't think so.
No, I think we might need to sort of put interims perhaps on the sort of secondary level. There might be some scope for some others to do some work on that. I think concentrating on, say, 10A and B as that sort of primary measure, I think going along the approach that we were suggesting in the paper, which is the first thing we bring back, is some paper about cross-referencing, because that seems to be a clear message from the discussion today. So I think there's not a huge change, maybe a reshifting of the priorities, or making clear what we think is what will move forward first, and some of the things which we'll set aside as sort of secondary projects. That's the message as I took that.
Yes. Okay. Good luck. Let's take a short break. 10 o'clock, we start with insurance.